Turn with me tonight to Romans chapter 7, and I read verse 24 and 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It is always good to have a title directly from the text. So here is my title from verse 24. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? It is a question. My dear friends, in Romans chapter 7, you find what we often call the I ams of Paul. More than 30 times, Paul says, I, or me. But it's not only about Paul speaking in the first person. It is also, we find here, the first one of his who's. We don't have time to really glance through Romans here, but if later you are just curious, glance into chapter 8. There are four more there. Who shall deliver me? Who shall be against the elect of God? Who shall condemn them? And so on. This is the first one of a whole series, a string of rhetorical questions asked by the Apostle Paul. So here you find really the first one. Who shall deliver me? I believe this is a humbling question. I hope it humbles you. It humbles me also. It is humbling because it is a question about the battle, the war for life. It is a matter of life and death. Where do you stand? The greatest battle that can happen in this world. It is not happening outside you, but it is internal. It is happening in you. Oh, my dear friends, Romans chapter 7 here, most of us who are accustomed to read the word of God, we know this is Paul speaking about himself. But I want just for a second, for the sake of my argument tonight, to put aside that this is about Paul and picture yourself without a Savior. Picture yourself without a Savior, without forgiveness of sins, without reconciliation with God, without fellowship with the living God, left to yourself, isolated, distanced from God who created you. Please picture yourself. That's where the battle is happening. And here you are without God as a father. And if you stand before him tonight without a Savior, what will you bring? What will you say? What argument, what alibis, what excuses will you bring before the living God? Or you will be made silent. You will have nothing to say. Because there is nothing to say. God has made everything that is required for you and me to have our names written in the Lamb Book of Life and to have all our sins forgiven. So this is, as I said, a humbling question. It is about the war that is going within you and within me. My dear friends, it is time to think, what is the purpose of life? King sin is ruling, you like it or not, it is ruling in you and in me. If Paul said these words, oh, what a wretched man I am, who shall deliver me as a believer, then what would be the fate of a non-believer? What would the non-believer say? Who shall deliver me? Is there an answer, my dear friends? Where will I find the answer that will bring some refreshment, spiritual refreshment in my soul? Who will give that answer? And the question is also, am I really ready to get the answer? Many times we ask questions, but really deep down in us, we are not ready to get any answer. We are not even willing to listen to the answer. But four very simple things to help us. Are we seeking the Lord? I want to speak specially to those who are unconverted, those who have never sought the Lord, those who are seeking after the Lord. Here are four simple things to make you to think about the purpose of life. The first one, for you and me to be saved, there must be a cry for help. That is the first thing. You look at it in verse 24 here. Oh, that exclamation, oh, wretched man that I am. That is a cry of help and cry for help. This is a man who is going through a great sorrow. This is a man who is giving us a desperate cry. Why? Oh, look at it from verse 14, verse 20. He says, sin dwelleth in me. He is captive. This is a man in chains. He is a prisoner. You know the greatest lie Satan is telling so many people in this world? You are free. You are free. Nobody is free. You are either serving God or you are serving Satan. You are either serving the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are self-serving. You are serving yourself, just living for the here and now. Those are the two options we have into this world. So my friends, it is time for each one to think about the purpose again of life. So this is a man with a great sorrow. He is under captivity, and he is also sin dwells in him. He doesn't shift the blame like we all do. He says, as you read Romans chapter 7, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Do you want to find the Lord tonight? The first thing you need to realize, I need it. Salvation begins with a need. Salvation begins with a need. God will not save you against your will. Yes, he will deploy the Holy Spirit, the tender Holy Spirit, with tender words, with the power of the Holy Spirit to reason with you, to plead with you, to call your attention. But he will not save you against your will, because you are not a machine. You are not a robot. God doesn't save us like a machine or a robot. We come gladly because he has worked in us. But without you desiring to be saved, God will never save you. That's the first thing. Salvation begins with a need. I ask, I seek, I knock, and I shall find. I don't need a moralist. I don't need a psychoanalyst. I don't need a psychiatrist. I don't need a psychologist. I don't need a pastor. I don't need an imam. I don't need the Pope to tell me that I'm a sinner. I know my heart. It is wicked. It is desperately wicked. But I need that salvation. The law of sin dwelleth in me. The law of sin dominates me. And as you read Romans chapter 7, Paul is saying, that sin is in all my members. All my members. No exception in me. If I have lost you in this first heading, oh my dear friend, remember, you need that cry for help because you are in a great need. Oh, wretched man that I am. It is me, no one else. I do not compare myself with anyone. That's where salvation begins. But look at the second word here. Oh, wretched man that I am. A word of confession. So after the cry for help, now we find the second point here, the second help. If you are seeking after the Lord, you need that word of confession. And you know the word confession, confere in Latin, it means to speak the same language, to speak the same language, to call a spade, that's the meaning of confession. And the word of confession here, God says, you and me, we are sinners. We are carnal, carnal people. We live just for the flesh. We live just for the satisfaction of ourselves. But God is saying, you are a sinner. And what should be your reply? Same language? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Do you see what the man is saying here? The man in great anguish. He is saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that I am. Oh, wretched child, unhappy man, unhappy woman that I am. Where? I was? No. That I am right now. Immediately, instantaneously, in my present life, what is my condition? What is my status? If you ask the people of the world, what will be their answer? You know what their answer is? Oh, how great I am. I'm the best. How good I am. Don't you see my pedigree? I believe in myself. But this is not what this man is saying. This man is a humble man, wretched man that I am. That's how he sees himself. Unhappy man, miserable man. That's what the expression means. But the Greek here, the word wretched, which is not many times found in the word of God, if later you want to compare, it is found in Revelation chapter 3 verse 17 about a church which thought they had it all. Look how rich I am. Look how good I am. And God speaks to them. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to them by saying, you are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind. You are naked. That's our status and condition. So the word wretched here really means this is a man in a great toil, a man in a great agony, a man who is agonizing. It is like a soldier, if that picture will help us. It is like a soldier who is besieged by his enemies. Troops have surrounded him from every flank. Soon he will be captured and very soon he will be executed. What is he going to do? He is without weapons and he is surrounded by military, by powerful soldiers. He has no hope to escape. No way to escape. This is the meaning of that word, to be wretched. To be wretched really speaks about you and me being torn, being pulled on every side. And in the word, there, which is given in verse 24, oh, wretched, that word really means this man is in a great fatigue. The malady has gone too far, maybe terminal. Soon he will give his last breath. That's the meaning of the word wretched here. But the good thing, this man, though he sees that he is in a great suffering, in a great agony, he is in need of God's mercy. May I plead with you? There is something I have experienced many years ago, and I'm sure if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what is going in you even now. That inward pain in us, deep down in us, of being shut away from God, separated from God, distanced from God, no fellowship with God. My dear friends, I can tell you from experience that pain is just unbearable. It is unbearable. You know why? Because when you come to that realization, you will see no more self-admiration, no more self-consideration, no more self-reliance, no more self-confidence, no more self-righteousness. I am empty-handed, like the soldier who couldn't do anything, who couldn't say anything. Weapons down. That's the only thing this man could have done on that occasion. My conscience, my heart, my mind, my will, everything is corrupted. Everything is polluted by sin. I couldn't even make a prayer to God which will have a favor of the living God, because God cannot relate to anything without repentance and faith, trusting on the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the worst, you know, you and me, I'm saying this in the kindest way, we walk in filthy rags. I don't know if you have ever smelled something that has not been washed. Somebody wearing, sleeping in the same clothes, walking in the same clothes, week after week, week after week, never taken a shower for 1 year or 2 years or I don't know how many. Oh, the smell. This is how you and me, we walk in this world without a Savior, in filthy rag. They stink, and even when you pass close to a person, oh, the odor, the smell of it is just unbearable. And we are ashamed of it. And unfortunately, many of us, our sinfulness and nature doesn't make us to be ashamed anymore. And that is a tragedy. Oh, my friends, but the worst for you and me, as you read Romans 7 again, this is one of the best chapters of the Bible. There is great hope here. And as you read the chapter, you will see that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, crushes you. It puts you down. It cannot save you. It is the pedagogue, the tutor, the teacher pointing to you. Oh, listen, there is a Savior. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The Ten Commandments there are all there to help you. You cannot save yourself. That's why you need the Savior. You need the grace of God. And that law of God destroys and crushes in you and me all my claims and pretensions. But you see, the wretched man is a man who doesn't only seek in for total deliverance. Many people, they are only seeking God because of the fear of the consequences of sin. But you know, we come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ because we fear God. Because we fear sin, not just the consequences. I want to save my neck for just a day or two, and then when my conscience is appeased, that's why there is a yo-yo in many people's lives, even people in churches. Why? Oh, I'm steadfast. I'm walking with the Lord. Then one day, and I stumble again. I fall. Instead of making 10 steps forward, I am making 10 steps backward and maybe just 1 step forward. Why? Because God is not ruling my life. So, how to be saved? First, I need that cry for help. Oh Lord, help me. And I must ask for it. The second is that I must have that word of confession. Wretched that I am. Only me. I have sinned. And did this before the living God. And my mother conceived me in sin, meaning that my nature is sinful and I need the help of God. Please allow me to go to the third. And now, oh, wretched that I am, who shall deliver me? This is a question. Do you see the question? It is a question. Who shall deliver me from that implacable pride, that implacable guilt? Who shall deliver me from that God's righteousness judgment, righteous judgment, because we shall all stand before God to be judged. Who shall deliver me from hell? Who shall deliver me from my own tendencies, my impulses? Who shall deliver? Who shall give me a hand to raise me from the dead? I will try my best. But it doesn't work. But here you can see the writer is giving us so many answers. My dear friends, the worst with us, sin is a killer, but I love it. I enjoy it. And all my intentions are so short, I cannot get rid of it by myself. I mourn. I'm frustrated with my sin. But the problem, I am incapable of doing anything. You see, I'm incapable, I'm impotent to take myself out of trouble. And this is every person without the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm calling you tonight to look, who shall deliver me? Should I seek for help with my conscience? Some people, they look for help in their conscience, but the conscience will only tell you what you inform your conscience, what you fill your conscience with. That's why conscience cannot be a good guide. Yes, many times it will speak to us, but it is not a perfect guide. It received only the database you have put in it. But the Word of God is the perfect guide. And it tells me I cannot trust. Will I seek help from the government? Or should I call tonight my GP? Oh, wretched man that I am, help me. Will I call the consultant, any expert? Will I call the imam? Will I call a priest? Will I call the law of God? Will I call a religious system? Will I call a human philosophy? They are all bankrupt. They cannot provide anything to appease the need of my soul. And some people, in order to calm, to appease their conscience, they say, I'm going to end my life. My dear friend, that is the worst thing to do for two reasons. The first one, life anyway is coming to an end. One day it will come to an end. So why hasten it? And the second reason, when you think that by ending your life that will solve the matter. No, it won't solve the matter, because still the second reason, you will stand before God to be judged. So trust in the Lord. Where is the who in this question? Who shall deliver me? You see the answer, the who there is not something. I'm not saved by a what, but I'm saved by a person. Who is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the one who came from heaven to earth to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the penalty of the sins of every person who will look up to him tonight for salvation, for the remission of sins, to remove that guilt from my life. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ died for on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, don't look elsewhere. Christ is sufficient. He is able to save to the uttermost. He paid it all. His blood washes me. And this verse is telling me, look at the verse. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be saved, I must trust in all his offices. He is Jesus, he is Christ, he is the Lord. He is God of the very God. How do I obtain that full deliverance? I go on my knees to the cross of Calvary. There, as I confess my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows my heart. He knows if I mean it. He knows if I just want to save my neck for a minute. But he knows, oh, how sincere I am. And if I do that, he will save me. And I will have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. But let me close. We said the who is a question, but what is the answer? Look at verse 25. If Paul has stopped in verse 24 by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I believe that if he stopped there, we will still be miserable. But he didn't stop there. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 25. What does he say in verse 25? Oh, we can spend the rest of the night just repeating that expression. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God. I thank God. That is, you see, he is moving from a lamentation to a praise and thanksgiving. He is moving from the sinner's prayer to what? To now a saved person who is praising God. I thank God. That is the greatest expression. I thank God. God is not against me anymore. Now I have received a new nature with holy desires. I have a new master. God is my master. I have a new manager. The Lord Jesus Christ is my new manager. I have a new Lord who loves me, who cares for me, who provides for me. And as I said, Jesus Christ is on my side. His blood was shed for me. He paid it all. I thank God. Will sin defeat me? No, not at all. You know why? Because the one in you now is greater than the one in the world. Who shall separate me from the love of God? No one, nobody. You know why? Because the Father who has saved you, the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved you, is greater than all. And he said in John chapter 10, verse 28, no man can snatch you out of his hand. Nothing, no man, nobody can separate you from the love of God. You are safe. You are secure. Will God uphold me? Who shall uphold me in this life? Oh, so many trials, so many tribulations, so many troubles. Who shall uphold me in my pilgrimage going to heaven? You know what Philippians 1 verse 6 says? God who has begun in you this work will fulfill it unto the grave? No, no, no. Not until the grave or unto the grave, but beyond the grave, unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see, you are not saved that, yes, the body will go to the grave, but your soul will breathe new air, fresh air, spiritual, heavenly air before the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you see, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Meaning what? There is only one way to be saved. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is a gift of God without the contributions whatsoever from anyone. You don't contribute to it. It is free. It is not cheap. Never think it is cheap. It is free, but it costs a great price to redeem you and me if you come to the Lord tonight. Salvation is obtained when a sinner goes to the cross of Calvary in repentance and faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please allow me to close. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, I am more than conqueror. That's what the Bible says. So much has been paid to save you and me if you trust in Christ. And if you glance, I'm tempted to hold you for a second. Just glance to chapter 8, verse 1. What do you read there? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Good news. But may I hold you there in that verse? It's not just about the condemnation, but I have even something greater. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. No more condemnation. Yes, I grieve over my sins. I mourn over my sins day and night. But I can also rejoice because of the grace of God. I can rejoice because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who covers. He covers my lies. He covers my guilt. He covers my failures. He covers my sins. He covers my hypocrisy. And he covers everything because he paid it all. Render worship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior. And he will take you into eternal glory. Do you see that? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a name. What a Savior. What a Lord. Are you in Christ? Good news and bad news are together in these two verses. Bad news first. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? That's the bad news. But the good news, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, wretched, unhappy, miserable, that's my fate. That is my condition. That is my status. But thank God, I'm delivered. You know what we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, if you allow me to read it for you. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You are blessed tonight if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be your cry and your hope tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee trusting that not a single seed of Thy word will be in vain. Oh Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray, Lord, for souls. We pray that Christ will be merciful and gracious to everyone who has heard Thy word. Oh Lord, we pray that the gracious Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. Working mightily, piercing the hearts, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ through His word, that we may see Christ and have Him as our Lord and our Savior. We ask these blessings in His name and for His sake. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 373. Rock of ages, cleft for me.